Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but say the word only, and my soul shall be healed. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You might as well know that I am aware that I am breaking the rules today. I say this because I would never want you to think that I was hiding something from you, or that I was doing something a little bit out of the ordinary or against the rules and was not aware of it. I have already found in my ministry here that whenever I depart from expectations or norms for what I think is a well-thought-out reason, many are the good and eager people ready to point out my error to me. So yes, I am aware that today is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost and the 26th Sunday in ordinary time, and that you have not heard the lessons appointed for this day. Instead, we have just heard the readings that are appointed for this day, October 18th, when that day does not fall of a Sunday. And that is because October 18th is St. Luke's Day, the feast day of the author of the Gospel of Luke and of the Acts of the Apostles. Even if you are one of the four gospel writers, if your day falls on a Sunday, you bow and take second place to the Lord's Day. It is permitted for us to depart from the lectionary for good cause and with the permission of the bishop. So if you don't tell him, I won't either. What he doesn't know won't hurt him. There is a reason behind my small rebellion, and it is simply this. I can think of no time in my whole life as a Christian when it felt as though what we all need more than anything else is to be healed. Sometimes we need a prophet, and sometimes we need a teacher. But right now, we are so weary, and we are so diseased, and we are so distant and divided from each other. It is not just our frail bodies that are vulnerable to this disease. It turns out that it's our spirits, our souls, our society that is being injured by the fear that we feel, not just of a disease, but suddenly of every other person. Injured by the hard realization that people we love and care deeply about see this disease and the divisions it has caused among us very differently from the way we do. It is as though this moment has reduced all of us to our jagged and hard-edged essential selves, and the result is not pretty. The simple grace that lubricates our social interaction seems to have vanished. It is too easy to forget that there are people, children of God, behind those masks, each one of them contending with their own struggles, just like we are, to get through these days. By long tradition, Luke has been known as the bivocational evangelist. We learn of him in Colossians, that he was a physician, or that someone named Luke, who was instrumental in the early church, was a physician, and what is more, a beloved doctor. If Paul, the tent maker, was the apostle to the Gentiles, Luke, the physician, is the evangelist to the Gentiles. His account of the life of Jesus is centered not so much on the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy as on situating the power and the significance of the message and teaching of Jesus within the frame of the Roman world. Of course, the ascription of both the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles to this same Luke, who was a companion of Paul, is only a matter of church tradition, not one based on evidence. Indeed, the scholars tell us that if Luke really is the writer of these works, however close he may have been to Paul, he gives us a very different account of Paul's conversion and a very different account of Paul's theology. But my interest is not in teaching a course on New Testament development. I want to explore a different question: the connection between the idea of healing and the hope that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How does the healing of this beloved physician really work? What does it mean? And why does it feel as though we are not healed? Let's start here. The good news of Jesus Christ is what Jesus proclaims in the temple. There really is going to be good news for the poor, release to those in prison, sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the promised favor of the Lord. The good news of the gospel is that all of the promises of God have been perfectly fulfilled in the life, the ministry, the teaching, the passion, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus of Nazareth. Not just one piece of those things, all of them together make the good news, because all of it together reveals the power of God's love to transform our lives. To say it in a different way, the whole story of Jesus, which, after all, is the subject of the Gospels, is the story of one who loved perfectly, who loves as God loves. That love holds within it the power to heal bodies and souls. Because it is not merely compassionate love, not merely charitable love, not merely accepting love, it is transformative love. When Jesus loves people, they get healed. We know that there's a category of accounts about the life of Jesus that we call healing miracles. The daughter of Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood, the man whose friends cared about him so deeply that they let him down through a hole in the roof on a mat so that Jesus would know he was lame. But of course, the love that Jesus shows to all people, that perfect reflection of God's love, heals everyone who meets him in some way. Nicodemus, who comes in the dark of night, in that moment that he finally finds the humility to ask that question, "How can these things be?" is healed of his arrogance. The woman caught in adultery, who is saved when Jesus confronts her accusers with their own mistakes, is saved from her rejection. And her accusers are saved and healed from their self-righteousness. Thomas is healed of his doubts by the physicality of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And the disciples, who have denied and deserted him, are healed of their cowardice by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are healed too. But for us, we who are the living body of Christ in the world today, for us, Christ's healing love is mediated to us through the agency, the work, the witness, the acts of these people right here in God's community with us. This is the risen Christ that heals us. This community, these people, and all of the people with whom we are bound together in baptism as sisters and brothers of Christ. But here's the problem. Jesus was the perfect reflection of God's love to everyone he encountered. But we are imperfect. Each one of us, of course, we probably have a pretty good notion of just how we are imperfect. We have a very good notion of how other people are imperfect, especially people in this room, and especially the bishop. And God knows that altogether our weaknesses become overcome by our strengths, little bit by little bit. We approach more nearly that perfect expression of God's love that is the way of love in the world. And yet we are still imperfect. We can heal a lot of hurt, a lot of illness, a lot of brokenness, a lot of sorrow, but we cannot heal it all. In these past days, someone close to our community, someone known to many of us and deeply loved for his gifts of artistry and building singing community, took into his own hands the gift of life that God had given him. And of course, those of us who knew him, who loved him, are asking ourselves, what might we have done? Why didn't we know? What didn't we see? But in a way, my sisters and brothers, that's the wrong question. Because asking that question presumes that we have achieved perfection as agents of God's transforming love, and that is beyond us. We are meant to be mediators of God's transforming love to each other, to the world around us, as the body of Christ. But even at our best, we are only imperfect vessels. In the end, the best news of the good news is that God did not merely give us an example of a life lived in perfect love and then leave it all to us. No, the best news of the good news, the best news, is that what our imperfect love cannot heal, we entrust to God's perfect love in the sure and certain faith that that love heals all of the brokenhearted and binds up all of the wounds. Now, we know this time will come to an end. We know this long season of our isolation that began in Lent will finally be an Easter of reconnection, of regathered communities, of restoring our touch and our sight of each other's faces. But have no doubt, friends, that how we enter into that world when the dawn finally comes will have a lot to do with how we treat each other now, with how we find ways to connect across the distance, the healing love that we can offer now to each other and even to people beyond our community is real. And we must not forget that we are still disciples, even if we are distanced disciples. God's transforming love looks more like compassion than correction. Looks more like mercy than power, more like sharing the load than deciding to bear it all alone. So that is what we are called to do, even if we do it imperfectly, because even our imperfection will finally be healed by the perfect love of God. Amen.